I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, and I welcome my longtime colleague, Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes the political economics column. More of that immediately. Joe was for many years based in Hong Kong as well. Joe goes to the hot spots. I'm beginning to wonder whether he gets there before the trouble or he is sent there because of the trouble or maybe, well, Joseph, a very good evening to you. There's more trouble. You've written about it in your most recent column. We'll speak to the virus. We'll speak to the vaccine. We'll speak to life in London in the pandemic time. But right now we must speak to a story that is so large and complicated that apparently not even the Chinese Communist Party, masters of the Middle Kingdom, have an answer. It's called pensions, the large-scale pensions of the future and the present must be addressed. This immediately drove me to remember that over these last 20 years, I've reported again and again, first with my colleague, Professor Steve Cohen, and then by myself, that the only thing that ever really threatened Vladimir Putin's one-man rule are the pensioners of Russia. Each time the budget in Moscow has tried to reduce the pensions or drag them out or in some way redefine them, there have been street protests, and Vladimir Putin was quick to surrender, most recently, I believe, in 2018, although it's an ongoing story. Now pensions are part of the conversation about Mr. Navalny's imprisonment for near 3 years. I'm looking at the prospect of street demonstrations in 2018 that was written by The Independent out of London. Pensions, pension, pension. The Chinese don't yet have pensioners who will take to the streets. What is the leadership's thinking about pensions right now? Is it that they must do this? As you say, they're going to get old before they get rich. They must do it now, or is this something they're ready to kick down the road? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John, and thanks for inviting me along to your new home on the new station now. I was just fascinated by this pension issue because pensions are a political disaster everywhere in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're in a democracy, it doesn't matter whether you are in an autocracy. Pensions are the one issue that no government ever wants to have to deal with. And yet, when we just had this big political confab going on with the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing, what were they talking about? Pensions. And, you know, I think it's worth looking at exactly why that is. And the reason is that you have this very, very large population that is getting very, very old right now. I think that the working age population in China has been shrinking since around 2012, 2014-ish. And they are really starting to worry about how they are going to provide for elderly Chinese citizens in their retirement. And so that is creating this interesting situation where you have President Xi Jinping and his government trying to consolidate powers as always. You have them struggling to figure out how they're going to get the economy to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. And then they also have to tackle what is going to be this politically very difficult issue where they are going to have to figure out how to ask people to save more for their own retirement and also ask people to retire a lot later in life right now. So this is coming up on one of those interesting economic and political challenges in China that has been skirting under the radar a little bit, but it now seems to be bursting out again.
Joe, is there any indication that they have a solution other than raising the age for retirement? You report that they're looking at 60 for men and 50 or 55 for women. Is that accurate? And are they talking about raising it?
Oh, yes, that is the current retirement age, and they are definitely going to have to increase it at some point. I mean, what's fascinating about the pension issue politically everywhere in the world, this part of it isn't unique to China, is that everyone knows basically what the solution is. What you have to do is increase the retirement age to account for the fact that people are now living longer than they used to and are also able to continue working longer than they used to be able to. You need to come up with a system that will encourage and allow people to save for their own retirements and individual accounts. And you need to come up with some way of balancing the payroll taxes that you collect and the benefits that you pay out from your state-run system so that the books will balance. I mean, that sounds easy, right? But obviously, politically, it's a nightmare. So you know, what happens is that Li Keqiang, who's the premier of China, works for under Xi Jinping, announced recently that they want to increase the retirement age. Well, they've been trying to do that for two decades, and not even the autocrats in Beijing can figure out how to do that without sparking dreaded social unrest. And sure enough, even in the state-owned media, after this, you had some reports appearing where they would interview ordinary Chinese people on the street who would say, well, you know, we wouldn't really be happy if they increased the retirement age. And the government has to take that seriously because they can't risk any kind of social unrest over this issue.
Are they talking about retirement savings accounts, something that is debated around the world, including the U.S.? That would be striking to see them go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, it's this interesting issue because that again is something that they understand that they need to do on some level, and they need to do it for a bunch of reasons. I mean, first off, you have to do it because that is the only way that is available to really allow people to provide for their retirement. If you create all of these tax-advantaged accounts that you encourage people to put money into, and then they can invest that money in mutual funds or exchange-traded funds and hope that their nest egg will grow until they're ready to retire. And, you know, Beijing wants to do this because it would also kill a couple other birds with the same stone. I mean, right now, Chinese people save for retirement by buying property. This is why the property market in China has been red hot for such a long time, and the government's really worried about that. You know, they worry both about affordability, and then they worry about sustainability. They worry about there being too much mortgage debt in the economy. So they really want to get people into the stock market because they also want mutual fund companies and other institutional investors who can start participating in the stock market and maybe make it a little less like a casino, which is really what the stock market in China is right now. So, I mean, there are all of these reasons that Beijing is keen to do this, and yet they can't quite figure out how to get all of the bureaucrats on board who need to be on board to implement a reform like that. And I think that there also has to be a certain amount of worry about moving too quickly in case they cause some kind of property crash, or in case too many people pile into the stock market too fast and then there's some kind of crash there at the end of the day. So, again, it's a classic example where knowing the solution is easy, implementing it is difficult, even when you're in a dictatorship of the sort that China has.
You report some statistics. Love data, Joe. Love data. That China now, when you judge it against the U.S. and other Southeast and South Asia countries, has a rising ratio of people over 65 per 100 people between 15 and 64. Let me see if I can translate that. The working age in China is regarded as 15 to 64. The number of persons per 100 of those 15-64s is a data point that is important to pension systems. The U.S. is 25.6, you report. China stands at 17. Is that good or bad, Joe? Does that mean they have to work on it, or they have a population that's not supporting them? How do they see that number 17?
Well, what that really captures, that you know, statistics that's called the dependency ratio, is how many workers do you have whose taxes need to be able to support whatever benefits you're paying for each retiree? And so the higher that number of retirees that you have per, you know, 100 working people, the harder it is to finance the system because you have fewer working people per retiree. And the dilemma that China faces right now, partly because of the one-child policy that they were operating for decades, that has really distorted their demographics. So they are approaching the kind of elderly dependency ratios that you see in graying advanced Western economies, but still at a developing country level of income. So you have the same kind, you have the same number of workers supporting each retiree, but each of those workers is earning less income. And I think that really crystallizes what we mean when we talk about China growing old before it grows rich. That is the statistic that creates this problem for the pension system, that they're going to have all of these retirees who will be expecting a certain kind of income. There might not be enough younger working people in China to really be able to pay that.
One answer would be unionizing, and I guess that's not discussed, right? That's verboten, to allow unions like the all-powerful teachers' unions or the public service unions to deal with some aspect of this. They would become major forces in the market and stabilizing. Is that imaginable for the communists?
Well, it's an interesting question, this role of unions there, because I think that China could definitely benefit from more unionization. I'm not sure that that would be the best solution to the pension issue, because what you don't need right now is government employees in particular pushing for more generous benefits. I mean, if anything, one of the distortions that they have in the economy is that the workers who have the most generous pensions are already the ones who are working for the big state-owned enterprises or for the government directly. So I think that the real challenge is that you need to be thinking about what will happen for workers, particularly at the smaller private sector companies, the startups, the more entrepreneurial firms, which is where all of the productivity is in the Chinese economy, but where you would probably struggle to get union influence. So, I mean, I think that there are a lot of reasons that the Chinese should really want more of a free right to form unions and, argue on behalf of workers' rights and that sort of thing. But I think that, the fundamental contours of the pension issue will end up going so much deeper than that.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics. We've been discussing his new column on pensions and Xi Jinping, the all-powerful president for life, who is in the same quandary that Vladimir Putin, the all-powerful, possibly president for life in Russia, and other presidents around the world. Pensions are the part of government that doesn't get all the exciting headlines, but is definitely a threat to stability. Definitely a threat. We're going to turn to another threat to stability Joseph has written about in these last weeks. He was early, so we're going to hold him responsible for the bond market. The bond market and the fear of inflation. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. And Joseph Sternberg is the Wall Street Journal editorial board in London.